Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, March 30th, 2020, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 100, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Lorraine N., reading the 12 steps, Sandy D., reading the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Dawn B., Leslie M., and Kathleen O. The share IDs for yesterday, Sunday, March 29th special edition is 14,335. That is 14335. And for this morning, March 30th, 7 a.m. meeting, the reference number is 14,337 or 14337. Our newcomer greeter today is Maria F. or Maria B. I'm not sure right now, but one of them will do it. And reading announcements is Robin P. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no D's or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Lorraine N. here in Oregon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve this month, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine N. Sandy D., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning. This is Sandy D., grateful to be recovered here in Central Illinois. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thanks for letting me do service.
Thank you, Sandy D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, every phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we are beginning our study on page 100 of the Big Book, the second full paragraph, and I will ask Dawn B. to get us started. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. When working with a man and his family, you should take care not to participate in their quarrels. You may spoil your chance of being helpful if you do. But urge upon a man's family that he has been a very sick person and should be treated accordingly. You should warn against arousing resentment or jealousy. You should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. Show them that he has entered upon a period of growth. Ask them to remember, when they are impatient, the blessed fact of his sobriety. Well, we have a nice paragraph here this morning, and it highlights the fact that back in the day when this was written, it wasn't so easy to find sponsees like we have now. Now we have sponsees that are in face-to-face meetings or now phone meetings. And so a lot of times the sponsees come to us. But back in the day, sponsees were often referred by third parties. So oftentimes their family members would be the ones that would get in contact with a person of AA and let them know, hey, you know, I have this cousin or I have this brother or I have, you know, my nephew who needs your help. And so oftentimes the first point of contact would be the family or the doctor. But now, you know, we have the, so oftentimes we're not involved with the families as much this time with Overeaters Anonymous being as it is today, where we have meetings on, you know, so many locations. And so it's not as difficult to find a sponsee as it was back in the day. They'd often spend like 6 months or longer to a year even trying to find somebody to work with, I read at one point. So what here what we find is how to deal with the family then when you are dealing with the family in a more engaged fashion. And to me, this really highlights the fact that when it says not to participate in their quarrels, you might spoil the chance of being helpful if you do. To me, this really highlights the fact that we are not to be giving advice. We're not marriage counselors. We're not doctors. We're not, you know, psychics. But we are to just stay what we are and what we do the best. And we are recovered from compulsive overeating. And so we need to stick to our experience, our strength, our hope, and not try to be a referee or an advice giver, someone who thinks they know, you know, someone else's situation. We're just completely to stay out of that whatsoever. So no advice, absolutely no advice. And for me, this just highlights the fact of me sticking to my own recovery. So when I am in doubt and when I don't know what to say, I pause and I ask God for the right thought or the right action in my own life. And in my own life, I don't fight. I don't get involved in quarrels. I do my best to stay out of those and to be asking my higher power how to handle the situation, to do a 10th step on it. Before I speak to my husband, if there's an issue, I quickly go do a 10th step and try to get to what is it that's my part? What is the lie that I'm telling myself that makes me feel like this resentment is justified? What is it I'm telling myself that's simply not true? And then asking my higher power for guidance and realizing that, you know, whatever the situation may be, if their behavior is troubling me, I have to realize that I don't know what needs to happen next in that person's life, you know, if this person's bothering me. I don't know what needs to happen next in their life in Hi. Order for the greater good to be the end result. Only my higher power knows that. I don't. And so I have to turn it over to my higher power and ask that guidance. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Dawn B., for getting us started today. Okay, I'd like to take a list of people who would like to share.
Stacey J.
P.M.?
I think I heard
Kathleen O. Eileen.